Okay, brothers, let's continue. We finish at 1. TC, he's doing the bathroom. Leaving, he was coming in. He said, this word on the struggling vine is really, really spot on. He said, he mentioned like a sister, just a sister, who's from here, and originally from Taiwan or something. And when she go back to Taiwan, somehow in that church life or wherever she is, they're like this. You have to go out like this. Then she did that. That means there's pressure, right? And then he said that you can just see that she grew. Then she came back here. Easy life. American church life, easy life, no pressure. We don't force people to do anything. We're not like Chinese. They like this. We're here, democratic and freedom for all, and do whatever you like. Don't bother me. I don't bother you. Okay. He said, then you see, I tell you, this is a good observation. Brothers, in a positive sense, for the vine, for a human being, for a Christian, we all need pressure. And brothers, I speak to brothers who are learning to bear responsibility. That's why I say, brother, don't take the fluffy, easy, enjoying way. Take the solid way. Take the way of pressure. Olives that have known no pressure, no oil can bestow. So brothers, Brother Lee, in helping us young serving ones, his Brother Lee's method is called pressure. That's what I got from him. Yeah, I hear his messages, I appreciate, but when it comes to work, labor, all he knows is you don't have enough pressure. That's why not much oil come out from you. You need to be pressure. So famously he said, while I'm alive, I'm the pressure. I apply the pressure, and that he did. He did a good job. He said, when I'm gone, you have to pressure yourself. Speaking to young co-workers, you have to pressure yourself. So I'm not saying I did such a good job, but I can tell you this. Since Brother Lee's departure until today, that word is still in front of me. Every day I pressure myself. I probably don't pressure myself enough. So they're still easygoing, easy on myself. The more you're easy on yourself, even you won't grow in life that well. Don't think growing in life is, I enjoy a little bit, I have a little thing, I'll grow in life. No. Even to grow in life, you have to have pressure. So the word is the work of faith, the labor of love, and the endurance of hope. It's a book to a group of new Christians in Thessalonica. It's not to advanced Christians. Right off the bat, they were under persecution. There's Thessalonians. And Paul's word is, he just learned, even from when you're young, to endure the pressure and to labor and to get things done under oftentimes an adverse and unsmooth environment. Don't look for easy way. Don't do this, brothers. In serving the Lord in the church, don't take the easy way. Really, really. You will regret. I guarantee you, you will regret. Okay. In your going this way, week after week, you then will learn, you'll be forced to learn many things. You will learn to have to know people, right? You need to know how to discern people. You need to know many categories of people. You need to know how to give the right food and how to talk to them. How to bring them to salvation, how to bring them onwards in different stations, spiritual stations, which is what I call progressive shepherding. See, many of you don't even know shepherding is progressive. Shepherding is highly progressive. That means it follows it's a journey. One thing is building on the other. There are stations. That's why in the books on the experience of life, there are levels, right? There are phases to the Christian life. And you need to know how to find out where this person is in this journey. And you have to know how to minister to them so that they can go through certain spiritual crises and emerge learning some lesson and advancing in the Lord and all these things. These are all the things we eventually need practical learning in to care for people. You see? So this is not an easy job. Actually, to bear a sweet grape is not an easy job. Jim just told me about a certain brother who have left the church life for a long time and now come back, a real prodigal son. And that was a lot of care, a lot of time, over a long period of time that happens. And for sure, when I hear this from Jim, I know that Jim and other saints have a particular burden for the prodigals. Do you know today we have a lot of prodigals?
Yes.
Our saints that are not in the meetings.
Yes.
Our saints that are wandering.
Yes.
They're caught by the world. Some are even beset by sin. Some of them are really in the dumps, having a hard time. But they're our people.
Amen.
Many of them are church kids.
Amen.
Brothers, who cares for them?
Amen.
That is a big group of people that is waiting for our visitation,
Amen.
Our going forth,
Amen.
Our ministering to them with much, much patience,
Amen.
To restore them back to the Father's house.
Amen.
So, brothers, you see, there's too many people for us to be concerned with.
Amen.
Too many people. We can even all be full-time and there's not enough people to labor on people. So, brothers, let's decide today. What date is today? Today? May?
18th.
Okay, let's make this a Memorial Day, a memorable day, all right? A memorable day with this group of brothers in Northern California. Okay, let this day be a beginning of phase two,
Amen.
Phase three,
Amen.
Whatever it is, all right, of our going on.
Amen.
My job is very simple. My job is very simple. I will learn from Brother Lee to give pressure. These years I've been speaking, you know, tickling you, making you happy. Okay, that's phase one for me. I need to switch gear to phase two. You need to switch gear to phase two. And this phase is called doing.
Amen.
And in the doing, you will be trained and learn much more.
Yes.
and you will own what the revelation. It will become yours by doing, okay? So my job is pressure, okay? This is the memorable day. Because I don't want to be in theory, just theoretical. Brothers, we're for the king's business.
Amen.
We must see something happen in Northern California.
Amen.
Our phone list, and even those who are active that are not regular, many, many saints. I told you in the training to go through the list, all the brothers, even to assign each other to go and visit all the saints. Have you done it? You don't know the power of a leading one visiting a saint, how that saint would feel. You don't know the power of that. A regular saint visiting them has certain kind of effect. But a leading brother, an elder visiting a saint, has a different kind of effect. Brothers, much work is waiting for us. Much work. Amen. Okay. I read a little thing from a brother who is supposedly full-time, you know, full-time serving. And the wife of this brother wrote him and say, "You're not a full-timer. I know. I'm your wife. You just sit home." "Please don't do this," the wife said. I tell you, you can have a name. You're a full-timer, co-worker. Actually, you're sitting home, flipping through the life studies or something. I don't know what you're doing. Brothers, no. That's not a co-worker. That's not a full-timer. And in a very good sense, that's not an elder. An elder's job is not to write checks, right? I said enough. Not to give announcement, not to make schedule. You do those things, those are just necessary things. The real work of an elder is to shepherd the flock of God.
Amen.
Not by compelling, being compelled, but eagerly. And that shepherd, that word shepherd, is a huge all-inclusive word.
Amen.
So, brothers, go. Just set aside the time. All right? And eventually help a number of saints to do the same thing as you do.
Amen.
There's some churches, every Lord's Day afternoon, the leading brothers gather the saints together in the meeting hall. They're in their little twos and threes, they pray and then they go out together and they come back together and pray some more. Every week. Every week. Some visiting the saints, some visiting gospel candidates, some, you know what I mean, all kinds of people. I tell you, that is a healthy church.
Amen.
Healthy church. If your church has 50 people, I tell you, if there are 10 saints, 15 saints doing this, your church is healthy. Of course, the more the better. Now, you say, what marriage thing are you going to talk to us about? Well, I have only 12 minutes, so obviously I cannot talk about anything in detail. Let me just share with you. My burden is this, brothers, as serving ones, as elders, as responsible brothers. Actually, all the saints, we must take care of our human life. Okay? To maintain our spiritual life and service, we must take care of our human life. And besides ourselves individually, the biggest thing for most of us would be our marriage, our wife. And then our children, right? Some of you are not married. Some of you married but no children. But in principle. And we need to take care of them so that our family, our marriage, can augment our service, can be an extension of our service. The domestic front, as it were, must be solid, must be stable, and must be pleasant, so that we can freely serve, happily serve, with a wife that is one with us, supporting us, and yet cared for by us. And children who are also properly cared for and raised up. No wonder the word in Timothy that a qualification of an elder is one who can manage his household well. Brother Lee does not like the word manage, you know, manage the church. But Paul used the word manage a household, meaning a proper household is not spontaneous and automatic. It comes from deliberate management or care or attention. I told all the saints that are to be married or newly married, I tell them, the day when you get married is when work begins. When fun sort of ends. I said sort of. I don't mean completely. But you get my point. Marriage is a project. Marriage is work. Marriage requires attention and care. Even love, you say love, oh love, love, love. I tell you, even love needs watering for it to grow. We should all not turn away from all these Hollywood movies that are all fake news. In real life, right? Marriage, family, it's like a plot of land, like a farming. You need to farm it to grow something. So I don't have the time, but I just want you brothers to pay attention to this. Take care of your wife. I just say this. Take care of your wife. The word by Peter is that is very experiential. Paul could never utter it because Paul was not married, apparently. But Peter was. He said, take care of your wife as a weaker vessel. And assign honor to her, to this weaker vessel. And deal with her, what is the word? Dwell with her according to knowledge. That means according to understanding, according to a kind of a sober realization of a woman, of a female, of their role, of their weakness, of their needs, and all of this. I tell you today, a lot of people get married with no idea that you need to think about these things. Just get married because we love one another and we're going to make some babies and whatever. Brothers, brothers, you can make a sort of a common and even a sort of not so perfect marriage rich and strong. Amen. you can also make a perfect marriage a disaster. Now, there are things that is beyond our control. I know that. The environment, you know. And we all have our background, we all have our childhood, we all have our experiences that make us what we are. And now two of these persons are living together married. There's a lot of challenges, there are a lot of dealings, there are a lot of problems that require care, that require cherishing care, right? So I'll just say that today, in the church life, we are seeing more and more marital problems. Not even just with the common sake, but with those serving. And some very serious ones. But we don't talk about it, right? No one would volunteer to talk about these things. I don't want to get into that whole realm, and I'm not some marriage therapist or counselor, this kind of thing. But brothers, that's all I can say is, it's good for you to go to that chapter of Watchman Nee on the New Believers called Husband and Wife. The chapter before that is Finding a Mate. You don't need to go there because you found a mate already. But Husband and Wife. The next chapter, Children. I would like to tell you, you say, oh, Watchman Nee, he's this Chinese stuff. You know, he brings in these confusion Chinese. You'll be surprised how progressive Watchman Nee is. Watchman Nee could be a top super psychologist. I mean it. His discernment, his finesse in knowing the psychology, the human being, he because of his service, he studied human being. And he has a way. And by reading, I learned a lot from him. So he has some points there. Quite a long chapter. Very helpful. Very, very helpful. One thing is exactly what I mentioned. He said, you have to make that love grow. Just that. There's a whole section on making love grow. Love is like a plant. You need to water, do things to make it grow. It won't grow automatically. And it takes a lot of things to make this grow. Many things. There are a lot of things from background, from the person that is raised up, you know. Some are raised up in broken homes. Others are raised up suffering abuse of different kinds. And that make up the person. How do you face those things? The Lord, you know, human being is a soul. Am I right? The Bible say the soul, the 70 souls, the human being is the soul. That means the psychological part of a human being is his person. And today, let me tell you, the psychological health of human beings is never so challenged in today's society worldwide. U.S. for sure. Brothers, how do you negotiate these things? How do you take care of these things. I won't get into it today, but I just like to point this. The children, likewise. How do you raise up the proper children? Now, it's the Lord's mercy, I know, right? Brother Lee always say, it's the Lord's mercy how they will turn out. But at the same breath, Brother Lee say, you have to do your best. You just cannot just throw it to the Lord's mercy. You have to do your best. Then leave it to the Lord. What is the best? I don't know. I don't have a standard. All I know is we need to pay attention. We have serving ones who run around serving and what? Almost discarded their home. The wife is like a widow. The children is like fatherless. Do you follow me? I'm not saying we're doing that. I'm just saying that this has happened. So let me just conclude, brothers. On the one hand, we have to be absolutely consecrated to serve, and our whole life is for the church. Amen?
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 Amen.
Louder amen, huh?
Amen.
Otherwise, what are we doing here? We're here 1,000% for Christ and the church. Our time, our blood cells, our brain cells, our energy, everything is for the Lord. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Am I right?
Amen.
Our whole being. That is right. That is our attitude. That is our consecration. But for the longevity of this consecrated life and this consecrated service, brothers, we do well to take care of our human obligation, human life and responsibility. So that, that's not the end in itself, just to have a little nice family. But so that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So eventually your service is not just your individual heroic one-man service, this great brother. I tell you, you can say, my household, my wife, my children, we serve Jehovah. What a testimony that is when you find that in a leading brother, in a responsible brother. What a testimony that is. So for this, we really need the humanity of Jesus. It's a big, big matter that I have no time to cover. But I think just a word like this should be of some help to all of us. Amen?
Amen.
And Brother Lee even say, take care of each other's children. I try to practice a little bit of that. We should do that, right? We're still human beings, not angels. Okay. Time is over.
Amen.
I hope you're okay with this morning's free talk, huh?
Amen.
And do your assignments.
Amen.
I'm going to put the pressure, and I'm going to check.
Amen.
Brother Lee said, I want results.